If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
And once again, joining us is Connell McShane, the anchor at News Nation, now from 2 to 4 p.m. Connell, welcome back. I hope you're doing well.
Yep, doing very well, John. Always good to be on with you.
I'm a little confused about the U.S. posture on the war in Israel. The president has been steadfast in standing with Israel, but our Secretary of State, Blinken, has said that there has to be a pause, at least in the shelling. So what's our posture? What are we saying?
I think it's evolving or changing. Just in the last couple of days, we've seen a change certainly in the tone, if not in the actual policy that the United States has. For example, to your point, Secretary of State Blinken said, and I'm quoting, much more needs to be done to protect civilians. That was earlier today, I believe. So, you know, that is giving you the indication that that's the priority now for the United States, whereas when the war began, clearly the priority was backing Israel and whatever they needed to do to respond to October 7th. I mean, I think the bigger kind of wider concern are two things. Number one, the United States is worried about the war widening and involving more regional figures, which the United States would be more likely to be drawn into a war like that. And then I think the second thing, which I've heard over and over again from people who know this region and have watched it over and over, that the more civilian deaths pile up and the more images of those deaths in Gaza are shown across the globe on television, that you're creating a whole new generation, as some have put it, of potential enemies of the Israel and the United States. So I think those are the two concerns right now. So they're trying to balance it, mm-hmm. and you can clearly see it from Blinken's language, especially the last two or three days.
Well, especially just every day, there's more and more footage, not of Israelis being killed, but of Palestinians being killed. And half of them are children, and it's just awful. And I think it's reasonable to have a conversation about the tactic that Israel is employing right now. The collateral damage is enormous. The problem is, as we all know over the last few weeks, if you say that, that's seen as not sufficiently supportive of Israel. And I think you can do both, but that's a very fine line. And one of our alderpersons here in Chicago has tweeted this: people are angry about a slogan that speaks to the liberation of colonized people. She tweeted out, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. That's just looking for an argument. When people tweet that out, especially if you're an elected official in Chicago, you're not looking to be helpful. That's strident. I know. Listen, Anthony Blinken called them Palestinians. He called them out by their nationality. He said, we need to stop killing these Palestinians. That says what you're trying to say. But if you want to say, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, you know that's a phrase that means many things to many people. Let me just finish her then tweet afterwards. People are angry about a slogan that speaks to the liberation of colonized people while they watch Israel commit genocide, bomb civilians, leaving people of all ages, from babies to the elderly. Over 10,000 killed and many more lost under the rubble. Go find your soul. So she was looking for an argument, and she found it.
Yeah, I would say a couple of things on that as well. I mean, you're right. She was looking for an argument, and she found it. And I think it would behoove all of us to have some sort of an understanding of the history of the region and how that history has been interpreted and understood by different people on all sides of this conflict before making comments. Because if you do make comments, to your point, you know that that phrase, from the river to the sea, if you say that to someone who supports Israel, they're going to look at that, as they have for years, and see that as a call to eliminate Israel, to eradicate the Israeli state, and that's how it's viewed. And you know that. I mean, and if you know that, and if you say that, you know what the reaction is going to be. I think you make a really good point, is that we could have two conversations at once if we're careful about our language. I think what the Secretary of State is saying is completely reasonable, because there are legitimate concerns here. Israel is making a choice in terms of its response. I mean, and people who are questioning that response or asking them to pause in their response or calling for a ceasefire or whatever the case may be are not necessarily against the Israeli response or somehow saying that the attacks on October 7th were not, terrible attacks, terrible terrorist attacks against the nation of Israel. That people are not saying that when they ask the question. So I think, we're asking people to have a complicated conversation about a complicated topic, and we'll see. I mean, it's going to.
And Twitter is not the place for that.
No, Twitter's not the place for any of it. But I think we'll see how it develops over the next few days. It's going to be interesting. The pauses are in effect. These 4-hour pauses.
Yeah,
it got a lot of attention yesterday, but they've been doing this 4 or 5 days now. So I think yesterday they got about 80,000 people out. Maybe they get some more people out, and that can help change at least the perception of how the world looks at this.
Israeli tanks have surrounded that hospital in Gaza City.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, there was video of that earlier, right around it. There was a strike that was reported on another hospital in Gaza. So anytime that comes out, that's going to understandably get a lot of attention. And at the same time, the Israelis are putting out video of what they're finding when they move into Gaza City. For example, there was all the video yesterday going into a house, and they went into what looked like a child's bedroom, and there are all these weaponry that was found, and rocket launching material that was found, and bomb making material that was found right in what looked like a civilian home and where a child would be sleeping. So they're trying to make the point that, hey, this is what we're dealing with when we go in here, and we say that they're using civilians as human shields. That's really what's happening. So both sides are trying to get their points out, because getting in there and actually doing reporting on the situation, as is next to impossible. So we're dealing with a lot of propaganda, as you do in wartime, whether it's video or numbers, and all of that can get manipulated and probably is getting manipulated.
The announcement by Joe Manchin that he's not going to run again, was that surprising to you?
I don't, when people say, well, you're shocked but not surprised, is that's kind of the way you get that kind of thing? Because you stop and you think about it and you say, well, a couple of things. Number one, the guy's in his mid-70s and he's had a terrific career. So if he really was retiring, is that really supposed to surprise you? And the answer obviously is no. He's also talked about pretty openly the fact that, he's... I shouldn't say he's talked openly. He hasn't ruled out the possibility of running as a third-party presidential candidate on this no-labels ticket that is very well-funded when he's asked about it. So people had been speculating about that for a long time as well. So this obviously sets him up for that possibility. But, boy, it's a blow to the Democrats. It pretty much gives up that West Virginia seat. It's almost certain to go red now, and they were already struggling on the map. So the odds of the Democrats losing the Senate went up with Joe Manchin getting out. And then, I'm sure the White House is worried about this third-party run because, again, no labels has a lot of money.
Would he draw Republicans or Democrats? I know he's a Democrat, but he didn't always vote like one, and he's from West Virginia. So I wonder if he might appeal to people on both sides.
He might be. He might appeal to what he really calls the middle, and he thinks that there's some sort of a movement in the moderate middle that he can appeal to. It was funny when RFK Jr. got in. A lot of people said, "Well, he's a Democrat and he comes from the most famous Democratic family maybe of all time." And then, of course, because of his policy positions, the polling shows he actually takes more votes from Trump than Biden when you match up the three of them. Now we have data to support that. With Manchin, most of the political pros think it would probably hurt Biden more. But to your point, maybe we don't really know until he gets going, if he does get going. But, the guy's experienced. He has a background. He's a big name. And if he got in the race with the backing of no labels, they have a lot of money. It would certainly have an impact on the race. We don't know if he'll do it yet, but boy, that would make it very, very interesting.
The National Republican Senate Committee chair tweeted, "We like our odds in West Virginia." That'll be the understatement of the day, maybe the week. Connell McShane from News Nation. Let's talk next Friday, Connell. Thanks.
Okay.
You bet.
Sounds good, John.
Take care. You bet.